Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. I had planned to, I kind of assumed that I would preach a message among the messages that I have. You know, missionaries on furlough are kind of like evangelists. We have all these messages we can select from. But, you know, this day is the most important day of the Christian calendar to me. And I could not get around the conviction in my heart that I needed to preach on the resurrection. In the Philippines, the biggest holiday is not Christmas, but actually Good Friday, where they really want to focus on the death of Jesus Christ. And Easter Sunday, the resurrection is less important. But in 1 Corinthians 15, here Paul declares the gospel, and he emphasizes, most of all, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And why does he do that? Because the Corinthians' Greek worldview taught that no one would rise from the dead. That was not something that you would want. But as Paul says in verses 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians 15, if no one rises, then Jesus Christ did not rise. And if Christ did not rise, then Christianity is vain. Christ's resurrection saves us. His resurrection gives Christianity value, and it motivates us to serve him. First of all, let's look at the fact that Jesus Christ's resurrection saves us. Verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Paul preached the gospel, and we received it. At the end of verse 1, it says, we stand in it. And at the beginning of verse 2, we are saved by it, by the gospel. And this gospel, according to verses 3 and 4, is how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And the proof of that was that he was buried. The proof that he really died was that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And the proof of that was that he was seen by many people. In verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, and verse 8. So the gospel is true. It is reality. I was witnessing in one of those slides to a Hindu man who was arguing with me about salvation. Kind of kindly arguing, because Hindus are supposed to be kind in everything they do. My wife and I recently were talking to a Filipino man who was postmodern, really, in his beliefs, that there's no absolute truth, and he also called himself a deist. There are people who argue and resist the gospel, but it is proven fact, and we should not be swayed. We should not lose confidence or doubt the certainty of Christ's death for our sins and his rising from the dead. And because he rose, that means Christianity is true, that Jesus Christ saves. The gospel saves us. Christ's resurrection not only saves us, but Christ's resurrection also gives Christianity value. As we see in verse 14, if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain. It's worthless. And your faith is also worthless. As verse 17 says at the end, ye are yet in your sins. Verse 18, all those who died in Christ died while trusting in Christ, they are perished if Christ is not risen. And verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So if our hope in Christ extends to this life only, then we are the most pitiable people, the people that are most to be pitied in all the world. But verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. That is reality. That is the truth. And because Christ is risen from the dead, then our faith does have value. Our preaching has value. We are no longer in our sins if our faith is in Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Christ makes Christianity of value, and not value among other things of value, the only faith that is of value, because there is no other faith that has a risen Savior. Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, all of these other religions, it's only Jesus Christ who has risen from the dead. Verse 20 says that he has become the first fruits of them that are slept. All those that are in Christ and who died will rise again. We have certainty about our future. And we are also victorious in Christ. Verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. So Jesus Christ will do something. He will rule and he will triumph. And of course, that is because he is still alive. He has risen, and because he is alive, he will conquer. He will reign. Verse 25, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And one of those enemies, verse 26, is even death itself. So Christ and Christianity will win. We are on the victorious side. And so we should be strengthened and encouraged about our Christianity, about our faith. Even though a lot of times Christianity looks like it's very small or poor. In Asia, the churches, the true Bible-believing churches, don't look very good. Now, a lot of them are very poor-looking buildings. They don't have much money. And a lot of those churches are very small. In the Philippines, in Manila, there are some, and other cities in the Philippines, there are some large churches, but most of the churches are very, very small. I mentioned Tabernacle Bible Baptist Church that I preach at every month. And they meet at the top on the roof deck of a restaurant and apartment building, and they don't have any walls. So you can hear all the jeepneys or all the vehicles going by, and it's very noisy. Every morning, Sunday morning, they have to set up their chairs and tear it down, and they put out a tarpaulin sign in the morning, and then by 11:30 or so, or 12, they take it down. And the other Sunday night and Wednesday night, they meet in the living room of the pastor's home. So it doesn't look very impressive. But what gives Christianity and Christians value is not the beauty of our buildings, and it's not the numbers of our congregation. It's the fact that we have, and we alone have, a risen Savior. Our Savior rose from the dead. the risen Christ gives our Christianity value. And lastly, Christ's resurrection is why we live to serve him. Because Christ is alive, he rose. That is why we live and why we want to live to serve him. Verses 30 to 32. Paul wrote, and he asked, "Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." He's asking these questions. If, you know, here I am, Paul was saying, I'm in danger. I live in danger. I fight against beast-like people. I die daily. And if Christ did not rise from the dead, why am I doing this? And his point is, I am doing these things because Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. Because Jesus Christ is alive, it's worth it to die daily. Because Christ is alive, it's worth it to fight against those blinded by error and evil. The truth is worth dying for. The truth is worth living in danger for. Some of our students come from communist countries. And they go back there after they graduate. And it's, as you know, as you've heard, they are in danger. We have a graduate, two graduates who are in a Muslim country. And if they are too vocal, if they cross kind of these unwritten, some of the laws are clear, but also it's kind of unclear exactly how much you can publicly witness in their country. And if they cross that line, then they're in trouble in a Muslim nation. And why do they do that? They do that because Christ is alive. And because Christ is alive and the gospel is true, then any sacrifice is worth it, because the gospel changes lives, rescues people from death and hell. In Christ's resurrection, we also have victory over sin and death. Verses 56 to 58. Let's start with verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ conquered sin. He conquered death. So there is no longer, even though we may die, that our sin is paid for. And it doesn't result in eternal death. We have victory in Jesus Christ. So we can live, and we do live. We have victory because we have a risen Savior. Therefore, verse 58, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And here is the application of the certainty of the resurrection, that certain truth that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. There are two main ideas here and commands. Be steadfast, unmovable. That really relates to our faith. We need to be steadfast and unmovable in our faith And that is in a world in which there are many false doctrines, many wrong teachings, and wrong philosophies. If you go back to verse 1 of this chapter, the last word of verse 1 is stand, wherein ye stand. And wherein do we stand? We stand in the gospel. So the truth of the gospel is where we are standing. And in that gospel truth, we should be steadfast and unmovable regarding that. You know, there are some issues in Christianity and religion in general that can be, you know, debated to a degree. You know, the Bible is very clear about many things. Some things it's not as clear about, but what it is absolutely clear about, among many other truths, is the gospel. And we should never consider, you know, reevaluating whether the gospel is true or not. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and therefore his death is the only payment for sins. He is the only Savior. It's not that all roads, you know, lead to heaven, that all religions worship the same God. That is not true, because the gospel is true. We should be steadfast and unmovable in our Christian faith. And as far as our service, verse 58 tells us we should be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We are abounding in the work of the Lord because the Lord is alive. It's not vain, because someday we will stand before the Lord and he will reward us for our service for him. It's not in vain. And, you know, recently I was asked to write a little article about the sufferings of a missionary. I guess when you've been a missionary for a long time, they think you know something about missions. And so I wrote this article, but you know, one of my main points of that was it's really hardly any suffering compared to all the blessings that we have. And to know that our service will be rewarded. We may not see all the fruit that we want to see in this world, but the Lord will reward our labor. It is not in vain. And that is because, again, Jesus Christ is alive. Leo Lorenzana is a BGMBC graduate. He's a Filipino. And he is serving in a communist country, in Vietnam. He left his home to serve in that country. He is striving to learn the difficult language of Vietnamese. It's a tonal language like Chinese. It's not easy. He does live in some degree of danger. There are hostile people. He's sometimes under surveillance. So he has an underground church. Of course, you know what underground means. His church is actually in his home, which is on the 9th floor. So it's underground, but on the 9th floor. And he has to be very careful, and his family has to be very careful. And there is opposition to him. But why does he do this? Because his labor is not in vain, because Jesus Christ rose. Because there is a risen Savior, it's worth living for him and going through difficulties to do that. I think of Denny Haliarsis. He was a pastor in Tondo, Manila, in the city of Manila, and he had a comfortable situation there, people who loved him, an established church. But then he left it to go to a Muslim area in another place, much outside Metro Manila. And there he is church planting and training other pastors. And why did he do that? Because in his heart, he realized that those people did not know Jesus Christ, did not know the gospel like he knew it, did not believe it like he believed it. And even though he's had to make a lot of adjustments, he's older than me. And in fact, he also, after he went to that Muslim area, after a time he had a stroke. I think maybe that was his second stroke. He's had two strokes now. And for a time, half his body was paralyzed. He couldn't walk right. His speech was slurred. He has slowly recovered. And he has made effort to recover so that he could preach again. So he's probably about 60 years old by now. But he's continuing. And why is he continuing? He doesn't have to, in a sense. He could go back to Manila, where it's easier. But he wants to reach those people with the gospel because there is a Savior. There is a gospel that is true. And that is the concern that should be on all of our hearts. Christ's resurrection motivates us to live not for ourselves, but to live to serve the Lord, to tell people the gospel, to advance his truth. That's why God has saved us and has given us life. And that's why Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Christ's resurrection saves us. It gives Christianity value, and it motivates us to live to serve him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the great privilege that you have given us to know the gospel. Thank you for your grace to work in our hearts and to open our hearts to receive it by faith and to put our trust in Jesus Christ alone. And Lord, we pray that we would be strengthened in our faith regarding the reality of your resurrection, that our Savior is alive. Help us to be even more convinced that what we have in the gospel and true Christianity is the treasure that people need to hear about, that Jesus Christ is the pearl of great price. Lord, help us also to be motivated to serve you, knowing that our labor is not in vain in our risen Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.